Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation, an application to our daily faith life, is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 and 19 through 27. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who gave his life for us so that we might have life eternal, dear fellow redeemed, I rejoice. Do you rejoice? That's essentially a question that the Apostle Paul is asking in this letter of his readers, the members of the congregation in Philippi. And the amazing thing is that Paul wrote this letter from a prison cell in Rome. How could he rejoice? Paul was sending his fellow worker Epaphroditus back to Philippi with this letter. A letter filled with the gospel message of joy and salvation in Christ. But a letter also filled with news of his trial and of his prospects of being set free. Paul writes with pastoral concern for the members, thanking them for that financial gift that they had gathered and then sent with Epaphroditus from Philippi to Rome. He also encouraged them to stand fast in the face of persecution with joy in Christ Jesus. Talked about some of the problems within their congregation and warned them against the Judaizers who demanded that they be circumcised and keep all the Old Testament ceremonial laws in order to stand righteous before God. The theme of this letter is joy. It's found in chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Almost 20-some times, the word joy or rejoice is found in this little letter of four chapters. And Paul begins his letter with that same note of joy, giving thanks to God for the Philippians' fellowship with him and for their partnership in the gospel. We read again verses 1 through 5. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Our theme for this morning's sermon is taken from verse 27 in our sermon text, and that is, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, walk worthy of the gospel of Christ in your life. And our first point from verses 1 through 5 is this, be joyfully giving thanks to God for our fellowship. We do not jump over these introductory words. They're similar in every one of Paul's letters. We need to listen to them carefully because it sets the stage for that which is to come. Paul starts by saying that he and Timothy, who is with him in Rome, whom the Philippian Christians knew very well, are bondservants. Literally means bound slaves to Jesus. They were bought at a price. Jesus Christ shed his blood to buy Timothy and Paul, set them free from sin and death, and now they belong to him. And as slaves to Christ, he was now their master, their Lord. And they devoted their life to him in service. Paul also said that this letter was to all the saints there in Philippi. That is, the set apart ones, the sanctified ones by the Holy Spirit. And to the leaders, the officers, the deacons, the bishops, the overseers. They've been called of the darkness of sin and unbelief to the light of salvation through Christ Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, working in their hearts, sanctifying them, and then putting them together in this one little congregation there in the city of Philippi in Asia Minor. And now that he had said to whom he was writing, he gives a blessing. Grace and peace to you. The same blessing that we begin our sermons with. Grace. God's undeserved love to these unworthy sinners. Undeserved love given freely that brings about peace, which Christ earned for them by his sacrifice and his resurrection. Reconciling them to the Father. Making them at one with God. This redemption of Christ and his work justified us in God's justice, appeased God's wrath, and delivered sinners from God's judgment and curse. The redemption of Christ established a new relationship between the Almighty Holy God and us redeemed sinners. Now that Paul has laid the groundwork of the message of the gospel, he then says to them, I thank God every day for you, upon every remembrance, always in every prayer, for you all with joy. Even though Paul was under house arrest, chained probably to a soldier in his house, every time he thought about those Christians in Philippi, his heart was filled with joy. And with thanksgiving. He loved them dearly. He prayed for them because of his affection for them. And he was concerned for their souls. He also gave thanks to God for their fellowship, for their partnership in the gospel. It had been over 10 years since Paul first had met them. Remember what happened? Paul was on his second missionary journey. He came to Asia Minor. He came to Philippi. And on the first Sabbath day, he went to the river, and there were ladies there, Jewish ladies that were there, probably washing clothes. He began to speak to them. One of them was Lydia, a seller of purple. And he preached about Jesus Christ and his death and his resurrection. And Lydia begged them to stay at her house. And a congregation began of believers in Philippi. During that same trip, as Paul stayed in Philippi for some days, he cast out a demon from a slave girl who was foretelling the future. And because of that, he and Silas were arrested, beaten, and thrown into prison. What happened? That night, there was an earthquake. All the jail doors sprung open. Chains fell off the prisoners. The jailer woke up from his sleep, saw the doors open, thought all the prisoners had escaped, took out his sword, was ready to kill himself, sparing his family from the embarrassment of his execution. And Paul called out and said, "Do yourself no harm. We're still here." Remember, the jailer came flying in and threw himself down on the ground and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen again. And that night, the jailer bound up their wounds. Paul and Silas talked to their family. He and his family, the jailer and his family, were brought to faith in Christ, baptized, and added to that little congregation in Philippi. On Paul's third missionary journey, he stopped in again on his way out of Jerusalem and then on his way back to Jerusalem. They were very dear to Paul's heart. So, how often do we joyfully give thanks to God for our fellowship with each other, for our bond of faith and our partnership in the gospel? As I was working on this sermon, I thought of the last couple weeks of my life. First week of October, went to Marquette and had a blessed couple days of fellowshipping with fellow pastors in the Great Lakes Conference. It's a wonderful time of fellowshipping together, talking about Scripture, and encouraging one another in the gospel work. Then last week, Ruth and I went down to Florida. We gathered together with most of the CLC teachers. What a beautiful time to be able to talk with the teachers and fellowship and worship with them, as well as with the congregation there, the Emmanuel, in Winter Haven. It's very special. But we've got that every day here. Every Sunday, we gather together. We worship together. We fellowship together around God's Word, praying with each other, praying for one another. Wednesday night, we study the Bible together in our Bible class. Our hand is up in hands on Tuesdays. Christ's blood binds us together as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. Do we thank God upon every remembrance of each other? Always in every prayer for each other? For our fellowship? With joy? That's our first prayer this morning. In our sermon, may the Holy Spirit move us to let our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ by joyfully thanking God for our fellowship. As he's saying, blessed be the tie that binds. Our second point is, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ by living for Christ. Paul was torn. He earnestly desired to live for Christ by serving others, and he knew that would bear fruit. But he also desired to be with the Lord in heaven. We can see this, hear the seriousness of his words in the verses we're going to read. My earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul expected and hoped that neither his sufferings for Christ nor his service for Christ would lead him to be ashamed. He prayed for the boldness and the confidence to be able to speak up for Jesus. Remember, it was Paul who wrote to the Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation for all who believe. Paul expected to be set free, but he was not sure. He did not desire his own glory, nor did he desire any fame or earthly comforts. He desired that Christ be glorified and that Christ's name be praised, whether he lived or whether he died. This whole issue of life and death, Paul left it in God's hands. He writes, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with the Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul is willing to continue on his apostolic ministry, if needed, if still needed, for the spread of the gospel. But he's also ready and willing to die as a martyr for Christ if that would best serve his Savior's cause. What an amazing testimony of faith. Think about that. If a believer's life is Christ, then naturally it follows to die is gain. For death for the believer in Christ is not a loss of life, but the gain of everlasting life. So is that your motto? For me, to live as Christ? And to die is gain? The presence of Christ and the fellowshipping with Christ is the very breath of life that every believer breathes. Therefore, living in Christ means that dying in Christ will give us rest from our labors, freedom from trials, tribulations, temptations, and the blessed gift of great gain, everlasting life. As the psalmist David writes in Psalm 16, in your presence is fullness of joy, fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So our second prayer this morning is this. May the Holy Spirit let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ by living for Christ. And our third point is, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ by sharing the gospel with others. Paul submits his will to the Lord's will. He has a firm personal conviction that he's going to survive this imprisonment. He'll be set free again to proclaim that gospel message. He writes, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Paul is exhorting his readers to steadfastness in Christ Jesus, to live as believers, as citizens of this kingdom of God, and let their conduct be worthy of the gospel as they struggle and strive in their life. He says, be firm, be immovable in the face of false teachings and the animosity of those who hate the gospel. Be steadfast amidst trials and tribulations. Be of one mind in striving for, literally battling or struggling for, the gospel. So we ask again, is that your battle? We need to take these words of the Apostle Paul to heart. There is great need for unity today, more than ever. We need to stand fast and firm upon the gospel message of salvation only through Jesus Christ. His perfect life of obedience, his sacrifice upon the cross, and his resurrection from the grave. We need to strive together, fight together, for the pure gospel to be proclaimed for this generation and the one which is to come. For if we don't struggle for it, if we don't fight for it, who will? And so our third prayer is this. May the Holy Spirit move us, let our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ by sharing the gospel with others. Three simple yet very important prayers. Lay before Heavenly Father. Pray in our Savior's name. May the Holy Spirit lead us to let our conduct be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ by joyfully giving thanks to God for our fellowship, for our partnership in the gospel, by living for Christ and being ready and willing to die in Christ, which is great gain. And by striving for this unity in the faith, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, His suffering, His life, His death, His resurrection with others at all times, fighting for the purity of the gospel. Thank God that for you and me, we can say, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.